scripture lesson this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through 22. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have the access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. These are the words of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very, very much. Well, I know you noticed that the bulletin was completed before we had the sermon title in there, and some of you were in great expectation this morning after last week's short sermon that I promised you, and maybe today you were expecting none at all. Oh, no, we're retreating back to the norm today as we gather in Christ's name. It's good to see all of you. Let us pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for the beautiful sung word for us this day, and the beautiful word from your scripture, from your holy word, and for the beautiful words we bring to each other in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a joy to be here and to be together in your name. And as we take a look at your holy word this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wasn't sure exactly where in the world I was going to go this day. I mean, it's been that kind of a week. I mean, it's just been one of those hurried weeks. And then with the blizzard coming on, I was sort of caught out in it. And I had one appointment followed by another one. And after the first one was done, and I saw the interstate after just a little bit of snow, I canceled the second one and went on home. Man alive, that became treacherous quite rapidly out there on the day that the snow started to fall. It was such a unique experience for us all to see snow. And we were like kids again here in Colorado. So I didn't know where I was going until I picked up a book. Well, I picked up a lot of books, but this one I just happened to open. You ever have that experience? You just open it up, and some people do that with Scripture. They just open it up and they read that passage for the day as sort of the guide that this is where God wants them to be. Well, I did this with this particular book that I picked up. It was a wonderful little book called Radical Renovation, The Cross-Shaped Life by James Harnish, who's the senior pastor at Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Tampa, Florida. Opened it up, and what do I see but a wonderful, wonderful poem written by one of my very, very, very favorite poets. And it sort of brought back memories of my youth when I recall that English 101, where Dr. English, that was her name, by the way, required us to learn certain poems. And we had to learn parts of this particular poem called The Mending Wall by Robert Frost. Some of you may remember him and have known him personally. I did not. But I do recall with some sense of interest the parts of The Mending Wall. And just a little bit of it to sort of guide us in our thoughts for this morning. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen ground swell under it and spills the upper boulders in the sun and makes gaps where even two can pass abreast. The work of hunters is another thing. I have come after them and made repair where they have left not one stone on a stone. But they would have the rabbit out of hiding to please the yelping dogs. The gaps, I mean. No one has seen them made or heard them made, but at spring mending time we find them there. I let my neighbor know beyond the hill, and on that day we meet to walk the line and set the wall between us once again. We keep the wall between us as we go. Oh, I read that and I thought, man, there's more to this than meets the eye. This is not just a poem by a great poet. There's something there that perhaps we as Christians need to take a look at. And on that day we meet to walk the line and set the wall between us once again. We keep the wall between us as we go. The wall between us. You may remember June 12th, 1987. Oh, well, you may not remember June 12th, 1987, but that was the day when President Ronald Reagan addressed the leader of the Soviet Union, and referring to the Berlin Wall, he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Or did he say, "Well, Mr. Gorbachev, I really think it's time you bring the wall down." That's what Ronnie said. And on November the 9th, 1989, the wall came down 26 years after it was put up. 26 years. It's always wonderful to take a look at that section of Germany from far aloft when the wall was up. And on the one side, where east divided west, you would notice a tremendous difference. On the west side, all the lights were on, and all the cars and buses were moving, and all the people were traveling, and there was commerce and industry, and life was alive and vibrant. And on the eastern side, it was dark. I'm not trying to equate this side of the congregation with this side or should I? No, I don't think we're doing it. On the western side, there was light and life, and on the eastern side, there was only darkness and despair. Robert Frost says it well. "Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. Freedom wanted the wall down, and the wall came down." When the Christians in Ephesus heard Paul's words, the words that we heard today, they were words that were so dramatically needed. Paul's words were about a dividing wall of anger and hostility. No, not just between two countries, but between two religious factions, totally different in their outlook in life. They could have pictured another kind of wall, but it was real, and this wall was just as impenetrable as the Berlin Wall. It was the wall at the temple in Jerusalem. On the one hand, you had a wonderful, wonderful place where people gathered. It was that inner court, the court of Israel, where the Jews could come. And then there was the outer court, where the Gentiles were allowed to be. You just didn't mix the two, the inner court and the outer court. Archaeologists found an inscription in 1871 written in Latin and Greek that was placed along the wall. I won't read you the inscription, but the gist of it was this: that Gentiles were warned that to cross the boundary in the temple is to risk death itself. You can cross that line, but if you cross that line, you know you're going to die. We had the same kind of lines drawn in our own country many years. for many, many reasons. It was race, it was color. We had camps. We've divided it along religious lines. We divide it along ethnic lines. We have all kind of lines that divide us, just like of old. Paul reminds his listeners, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is the thing about Lent. Golly, it's hard. You know, the rest of the year we can seem to saunter along with this religious stuff and it's pretty easy. I mean, we can get by just sort of being a good guy or a good gal and living life in its fullest. When you get to Lent, you're constantly reminded of the death of Jesus. Come on, Lord, get a grip. And he comes, follows us and said, no, wait a minute. I'm not here just to give you the easy life. I'm here to give you the right kind of life, that you understand who you are and where you're going and where the world is going and what you have to do to make it better. Have you ever been far off creating walls, creating a distance between yourself and someone else? Have you created your own walls in your life? I have. I've done that. And sometimes I think I've done it intentionally. I know I have. And other times I've done it unintentionally. It just sort of seemed to fall that way. I don't know why. But I look back on it and I say, yeah, those walls are there. If I'm not mistaken, and I would ask for a show of hands about people who have built a wall between themselves and others, I don't think there's one person in here who wouldn't raise their hand. And let me sort of put it this way. If you've ever been estranged from another person because she or he was better looking or better dressed or had a better job or lived in a better house or drove a better car or had a full head of hair, Lord, have mercy on us. If you thought Colorado would be a great place to live if we could only get rid of all the tourists, all the traffic, all the drivers on cell phones, all the teenagers and all the retirees and all of those who move here and drive, the price of housing sky high, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, if you've ever felt alienated at any point in time in your life, ever felt alienated solely because that person was rich or poor or black or white or Hispanic or Native American or Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or because she or he cheered for Air Force, Lord, have mercy. If you ever had a night when it felt the bed in which you and your spouse were sleeping was about 10 feet wide, if you've ever felt that your parents never understood you, or your kids were determined to ruin your retirement, Lord, have mercy. In one way or another, we've all been up against a wall, haven't we? Maybe it wasn't intentional, maybe it was, but we were driven barriers between us, and sometimes over the most mundane and silly things. We've been up against the wall, and we have hugged it, and we have pushed against it, and we have written on it. And sometimes we have cursed it, and sometimes we have hidden in the shadows of the wall, and other times we have embraced it because it kept us from facing the people we didn't want to meet or be around or associated with. Walls are real. They happen in communities, they happen in the nation, they happen in the world, they happen in the church. They happen between religious groups, and we build barriers to keep others out or to keep others in. But something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. And whether we like it or not, one of the messages of Lent is always, it's in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ that the walls are torn down forever. I don't know if we can come to grips with that. That all of our prejudices, all of the innuendos, all the walls that we've built up are absolutely torn down because of Jesus Christ. That's what makes being a Christian hard. This is not an easy life. It's only for the strong. The weak will fall away. Being a Christian demands an awful lot. Paul says it well in Christ Jesus, "You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two and bring us peace." The dividing wall is gone when Jesus came into the world. The Message translation sums it up this way at the end of this passage of Scripture. God is building a home, and he's using us, irrespective of how we got here and in what he is building. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, the one who holds us all together. But something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. And long ago, a lawyer asked a question of Jesus. I'm not sure if it was John Ciccolella or one of the other lawyers in our congregation, Judy. It could be one of the other lawyers, or was it just a lawyer in passing who tries to pin down Jesus? Now, he doesn't use the word wall per se, but he would like to get a clear understanding from Jesus about something that we struggle with too. Jesus, you know, now that I got your attention, no charge at all for this, by the way. This is free. I'd like to know, who is my neighbor? I think we would all like to know that answer, wouldn't we? Who is my neighbor? For whom do I have any responsibility at all? I would like an answer to that question. Answering the lawyer and the gathering crowd, Jesus tells a story. Why is that? All I want is a simple answer, and Jesus tells a story. That he does this so our sermons can be longer. You have to understand that. So Jesus tells a little story. You see, a man on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho is robbed, beaten, and left for dead. Now, this road to Jericho is notorious for a whole lot of reasons. I mean, it follows a very steep canyon. It's dipping 17 miles or so from 2,500 feet above sea level to 800 feet below sea level. And it's marked with high ridges and secluded caves and blind corners and all kind of places where a robbery can take place. The potential for being waylaid probably played a very important decision in the life of a priest and a Levite who decided not to stop. Now, if they were following the law, Leviticus 21, if they were following the law and going to the temple, well, to touch anyone dead, if indeed the person who had been robbed and beaten was dead, would mean that they would be unclean. And you wouldn't want to be unclean if you were going to the temple. To touch a corpse would make them that way. But a Samaritan, while traveling near, came by to the beaten man. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. You know the difference between the Samaritans and the Jews? The Jews wanted nothing to do with them for centuries, because they were sort of castaways. I mean, they were following different customs than they should have been following. There was intermarriage going on. There were a lot of strange things happening. The Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. In Jerusalem, the Jews had the great temple. And not to be outdone, the Samaritans also had Mount Gerizim, where their temple was. And they all worshipped separately in different arenas. The wall was very clear. And Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan demolishes the ancient wall and demolishes our walls as well. Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed him mercy, said the lawyer. Which one was the neighbor? The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, now you go and do the same thing. Go and do the same thing. And Jesus swings his mallet and the walls crumble. This did not happen yesterday or last year. It did not happen under anyone's administration. It happened because of a cross and one who died upon it. And when he did, the walls, the barriers, came down forever. Yes, something there is that doesn't love a wall and wants it down. Amen.